Well, Lord willing, let's turn to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. And we'll go ahead and read the first 10 verses. And we did start some of this last week. And we'll pick up here where we left off. But there in the 9th chapter, it says, "Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." Again, we touched on that it was a wondrous order. It was a wondrous service that they had there in that tabernacle in the wilderness. But yet, it was still worldly. It still had not come to the point of verse 24 of this chapter where it said, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." What a mighty, mighty comfort to know that that is Christ's sole purpose, is again to make intercession for you, for you, for you. And again, I always love to put you in there and me. Hallelujah. "For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him, and did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation." Now last week, we were able to go over the tabernacle, the candlestick, the table, the shewbread, talking a little bit about the sanctuary. And then in the third verse, we went into the second veil, which is the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And we began to talk and to touch on the golden censer. And there were seven items found in the Holy of Holies. And again, that was the place that the high priest could go only once every year for the atonement, for the forgiveness of sins. And remember, as we have read, that again, that was the remembrance of sin year after year after year after year. It was brought back into the minds, into the conscience, into the face of man, that there was a need for that sin offering. Now again, aren't you glad you were born in this age? That Jesus went in once and for all. It is paid. And how he pleads with us to leave the foundation that is laid. And how I appreciate again the encouragements of some of the elders in this meeting and our precious brother Hill that's gone on before us, to be so grounded in that precious truth, that it is done, it's accomplished in your life. That now you move on by the grace of God. He remembers it no more. That old nature is not you. You are the new creation in Christ Jesus. That is your victory. That is your glory. That is who you are. You live. But yet Christ is who lives in you. That is it. You have been crucified with him. So again, when that, I believe that salvation is new every day, what greatness, what reward, and what inheritance that we see in this. But that golden censer that we spoke about last week, we again just remind us that that was not found in the Holy of Holies. It was brought in as the first act of the high priest when he would go in, and the sweet fragrance of that incense would be brought before the Holy of Holies unto God itself. And that was the acceptance to God, was Christ in person through that incense. And as we spoke about last week, about Nadab and Abihu, how when they offered the strange fire, how they were consumed, weren't they? They were consumed. And it wasn't long after that. And again, as I was speaking with my mom there in the office before coming out, I have two sons and I pray that they don't ever get involved with strange fire. But there was old Moses, and he was approached by God. And right after Nadab and Abihu were consumed, there God was telling him to go tell Aaron, "Aaron, you're going into the Holy of Holies." Could you imagine what Aaron thought at that time? "Well, I'm not going in there. I don't think I want to have anything to do with that." I'm sure that crossed his mind and maybe even crossed his lips out to Moses. But by the grace of God, he knew that the blood would cover all sins. He knew that he would be accepted into that by Jesus Christ. The same way that we are. The same way that we are. It was a perfect pattern. But by the grace of God, we can enter in. Now tonight, Lord willing, we're going to start with that Ark of the Covenant. What a precious, precious time this will be. But again, the Ark of the Covenant speaks of God's presence. It's the covenant of grace and peace by Christ. If you think about that tabernacle in the wilderness, the entire sanctuary and everything about it and everything in it was completely built so that the ark would be placed in it. It was built for the ark. And you know what ark that Christ is? All heaven itself has been built for him. That is the new tabernacle. Isn't that precious? That heaven itself. But it's yet not complete, is it? Creation still groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we'll touch on that by the grace of God this evening. But the ark was made of shittim wood, which represents Christ's sinless, incorruptible, and infinite life. It was overlaid with gold, which was the purity, the deity, and his divine glory. The two materials together represents the God-man. And its mercy seat that it's shown that is sitting upon that ark, again, was sprinkled with blood, which is our acceptance and reconciliation to God. Now next is the golden pot of manna. And we'll bring all these in here, Lord willing, in a moment as well. But just again to touch on these. And I pray that this would whet your appetite to go back into Exodus and Leviticus. And again with this little chart of the tabernacle. And study for yourself. I mean, we can get on into a study of the tabernacle right now that we would never finish. And Lord willing, we're going to get through Hebrews. But we do want Christ to come. So if he wants to reveal Hebrews to us again in a more magnificent way, which will be beyond, that'll be wonderful too. But again, I encourage you to go into it. Search those scriptures. There's wonderful points about it by Brother Copley as well as Sister Bodie on the study of Exodus as well that you might want to read. But the golden pot of manna was in the ark. Again, there were these three items that were placed actually inside the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to read about the golden pot of manna, Aaron's budding rod, and the tables of the covenant. So first is the golden pot of manna, and that was in the ark. And again, this is in Christ, is the sustaining word of life. He was the word. He came flesh and dwelt among us. He was absolutely the fulfillment of that. And this is the food for our souls, isn't it? It is the food for our souls. The necessity of faith rests in the Word of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What do you think that feasting on that shewbread, which was in the tabernacle that we read about last week, what strength that gives to us? And the light of God and the light of His Son from the candlestick that shines on that table for our feasting to happen. This is the thing that God wants us to do, is to partake of His Son. And if you think about that manna in the wilderness there, it was new every day, wasn't it? How do we approach the Word of God? In faith, by grace. But is it new to you every day? Do you go to this and saying, "Lord, this is the Word of life. This is my life. This is Christ Himself." You ever wanted a way, a pattern, anything, any answer that you will, or question you will ever come up in any part of your life? The answers are all in this book. The wonderful, marvelous Word of life. And it truly is. If this is made our own by the grace of God in our life, more than conquerors that you'll be in Christ Jesus. Pray again. The young people have been so in my heart with the camp coming up, that the Word would be such a treasure in your life. That it would be something that, again, that you feast upon, that you realize taking on into your life, it is the fulfillment It's the fulfillment of life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that is how Christ is built in you, through praise and worship and building of the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit in your life, to become one with Him, to know this Word, to use the sword and to be able to wield the sword against the enemy, against anything that comes in your life, that we can rest assured that this Word will take us through. But He freely gave us that. He freely gave the children in the wilderness the manna every day. And all they had to do was gather it, didn't they? And here we sit thinking, I wish I had faith to believe that. I wish I had more faith in my life. Where do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're sitting here, in a sense, dead spiritually, it's because we're not feasting in the Word of God. This, again, is our inheritance, as we spoke about Sunday. If Bill Gates was your dad, I guarantee you, when you came of age, you would be reading that will very closely. Bill Gates is a pauper to your Heavenly Father. And I think as these wealthy people go on, they do realize it. I really do believe they realize it. I've talked and spoke to many that are up in age, and it never satisfied them. Look at Solomon there as he looked out over everything he had. That was the richest of the rich. And he said, oh, vanity of vanities. It was a vexation of spirit. He knew he missed it. His wonderful father, David, was the one that received the full inheritance of what he could come into. And yet there was Solomon with a more perfect life, with everything, the palace, peace around him, not even a war during his time. But yet David, the bloody man, yet David, the one who is the great failure, was the one that was the man after God's own heart. Think about that. That encourages me. I've got a chance. You got a chance? Oh, hallelujah, we've got a chance. Praise God. But they gathered it freely every day. And again, in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, as the precious Sister Bodie that went before us said, we are accepted in Christ. You're accepted in Christ. But we have a chance to be approved. We have a chance to be approved in Him, to rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. Could we ever even comprehend that? But by the grace of God, let us run for that high calling in Christ Jesus. Next was the Aaron's budding rod. That was the resurrection power of our high priest. Aaron's rod, again, was the one that he would cast before that would turn into a serpent. The different things that would do, representing God's faithfulness in the life. But that was a rod that was chosen because it blossomed. As Christ is chosen and exalted, the lifeless rod blossomed. Our precious Savior in death, He blossomed, didn't He? Hallelujah. And when we have been crucified with Him, that's when our life blossoms. And it continues to blossom as we yield our life to Christ. Have you sensed that in your life? Have you seen the blossoming of the grace of God in your life? I think I've seen it in many lives here. I know in my own life I'm experiencing it more and more each day. There's a beauty of God and His Son through the Holy Spirit that comes forth in our lives as we yield to Him. And we can be just as that rod. Hallelujah. And then the tables of the covenant. They were the tables of stone which contained the Ten Commandments. Christ fulfilled all of it. No matter what the Da Vinci papers or stories or all of these different myths. And basically what they are is just ungodly people that are writing these things. That again, and it's just principalities and spiritual wickedness. And if you have eyes that see not and ears that hear not, you're not going to believe it anyways. You'll believe a lie. You'll believe a lie. And someday, someday they will see. But I hope our heart would still go out to them. I think the Lord continues to make you more tender as you go on with Him. It makes you angry that there would be something out there that's like that. But God died for this world. He did. He sent His Son to die. And He loved this world that He sent His Son. And so magnificent to me to think that He so loved that He didn't give Himself, He gave His Son. And anyone who has a child knows that that would be a greater gift than even giving your own life. Surely would. All right. The tables of the covenant. I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians 4:4. Let's read about this wonderful Savior that we have and what He did with this law. That's Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And what did he do with that? To redeem that them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now go over to Matthew 5:17. Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. This is Christ speaking, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And oh, how he did fulfill that law. He fulfilled that law. Romans 5:19. And he fulfilled that law in great love, didn't he? Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that is your Savior. It's finished. It's complete. Christ is truly the fullness of God, the only one that God can accept. Again, that's why he can accept us, because he sees his son's precious blood on the life of a believer. And know that, and know that it is finished in him. How magnificent, our Savior and King, the fulfillment of everything. Now, Lord willing, we're going to get into this next part, which is the cherubim. And I think you'll see that in this tabernacle, and again, this is the diagram I'm pointing down here too, you will see that it is the fulfillment of heaven itself. It truly is. Every part of every believer that will be contained in heaven is seen in that tabernacle, someplace in that tabernacle. And by the grace of God, we're going to see the most precious place, that's in the Holy of Holies. And there's only one group that's seen there. There's only one representation that's in that Holy of Holies, that's sitting in that throne room at this time. By the grace of God, hallelujah, that could be us, hallelujah. But the cherubims in verse 5, let's read about them. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. The cherubims are the highest rank of saints, the best grade of believers. And this cherubim, as you'll see, and there's pictures of it, and there were two figures that sat over it. It was made of one piece of beaten gold. One piece. What does that speak of? One in Christ, one in his suffering, and one of pure and deity, that gold, speaking of priests and kings. Now you think about, there is one group again that is represented in the Holy of Holies. And this is going to be in this cherubim that, again, we're going to talk more and more about. In every way, shape, and form, to enter into that, beyond that veil, had to be completely like Christ. That's what he wants to join and make in each one of us, is to be completely Christ-like. That's a life that is truly dedicated to him. It's a life full of faith. It's a life that sees the promises of God. Again, the only group. We see the table of Shewbread. You see that that is represented there by the 12. You have all of Israel there. You have the candlestick, which is wonderful, the perfection, which the number of man. So you see that there's man, there's the innumerable multitude. You'll see all of the different pieces that are in this tabernacle. But only one group has entered beyond the veil. And I think it's so precious that that tabernacle wasn't complete without the bride of Christ. Do you see that? Creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's not complete. It will not be complete until the bride takes the throne, ruling and reigning jointly with Christ Jesus. Now that is what he is offering us. That is what he pictured way back when. I just love the completion of the Word of God. How magnificent that in that tabernacle, in that wilderness, way back then, nothing was left out. It was perfect. It's a pattern. It's so complete. And again, what an offering that Christ Jesus wants us to have. The cherubim, or the four living ones, are found in the first chapter of Ezekiel and also in Revelations. Ezekiel 1 calls them the holiest of all. And in Revelation, they are the only company seen that are in the throne. Their description is that of a lion, of a calf, of a man, and of an eagle. And as you read through that, that represents Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is the Word of God over and over encourage us as believers to be? Grow up into him. That we would have a full, a complete knowledge. That we would be perfect in Christ Jesus. If you go into the word perfect in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it's to mature, it's to grow up, it's to come to full inheritance, to be the full overcomer in Christ. How marvelous. How absolutely wonderful to think again that Christ would offer that position to us. Not to a David, not to a Ruth, not to an Esther. It wasn't for them. Again, studying back in the book of Daniel, as Daniel was looking through there, he finally had to close up that book and he said, no more. There will be a time. There will be a time when I'll reveal it. And that time is now. That time is right now. Praise God for that. And that we're living in that time. But they are like him in every way. It also says in the book of Revelation that they are full of eyes. There is a vision. The word of God tells us over and over. Without a vision, the people perish. What happens to the sleepy Christian? They miss it. That trump. Are we looking and loving his appearing? Them that are alive and remain, will Christ show himself to? They will meet him in the air. Are we prepared for that day? Are we listening? Are we a ready group of people that is looking for the coming of our precious Savior? Do you see him leaping over the hills at night before you go to bed? Do you see him saying, arise, my love, my fair one, my dove, and come away? Is that what Christ is to you? This isn't in any kind of condemnation, but I pray it would quicken us, convict us that there is a high calling, that there is a ready moment. And if you don't think that that moment could be today, you're sleeping. You're sleeping. This prophecy in the Word of God that talks about man's wickedness. I was just in a place today and yesterday. What a gorgeous place. One of the prettiest places on the planet up there in Northern California. I was there with my brother John and brother Jim. We drove and looked at homes. The average home in this area that we drove in was $3 million. Can you imagine that? The average home. I mean, if I could put my home over there, I'd be a very wealthy person. But you know what? We drove and drove. We never saw a church. Finally, we saw one. There's no thought of God. There's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And it's not just there, it's here. We're going to have interfaith of every faith meeting. There's only one faith. Don't let them fool you with that. There isn't a Jewish faith and a Muslim faith and all that. The Word of God says there is but one faith. There's but one way. Stand in defense of our wonderful gospel that we have. This is our gospel. This is Christ Jesus. And he brought us that gospel of grace. And we stand in defense of that. In love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the word of God, that's how we stand. That building, that's the food, that's the manna that we eat. That was the sustaining power for 40 years in that wilderness. That's what God gave them. Is that just awesome? This is all we need. I will give you a drink that you will never thirst again. I will give you food that you will eat of that you will never ever hunger. This will be our sustaining power. This is what sustains us from a sound mind to believing that our body is just the way it should be. That I'm wonderfully made. I don't care what sickness is going through here. I know I am wonderfully made. I know that by his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed of mind. I'm healed of body. That he's not going to tempt me or test me beyond what I can bear. That he has made the provision to deliver me out of a fire, out of a furnace, out of any trial, out of any test. And because he so loves us, because he so loves me, that he's going to test your faith. And he's going to give you thorns of weakness. That you're going to say, "There's Lord, I can't deal with this." And he's going to say, "That's exactly right. You can't deal with that." Whether it's an anger problem. Whether it's some type of a fleshly desire, whatever that may be, give it to God. Trust him for it. As Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Can you do that? Can you glory in your infirmities? And say, Lord, when I am weak, then I'm strong because the power of Christ rests upon me. This is the throne room that Christ wants to take us into. This is what was prepared beyond that veil. This is the throne of grace. This is where the cherubims dwelt. That is the fullness of God and His believers, the ones that dwell there now. I wish I could touch upon this more deeply, but I believe that God will take us there no matter. They are like Him. They have wings of overcoming strength. In Ezekiel 1:12, it says that whither the Spirit goes, these cherubims go. I don't know if you're familiar with Ezekiel chapter 1. Just read it if you get home. It's such a precious thing. It talks about these cherubims. It says that they go straight. They don't veer. They're not wrestling with the Word of God. They're motivated by the Spirit. They're led by the Spirit. Do you have a life that's led by the Spirit of God? I was out there with somebody that was very confused this week. Very confused. God is not the author of confusion. Of a sound mind. That's the Spirit He's giving us. Perfect love casts out all fear. I don't care what's in your life. Perfect love casts it out. Oh, again, care what you're facing. It might be a child that might be doing something. Might be in some way. You trust God. God will take care of them. They're your brother or sister in Christ. I've got to realize that about my little men. Those are my brothers in Christ. By the grace of God, I raised them up. He's promised me that when they're old, they won't depart from it. But I pray that God would do what it takes. Do what it takes. That God would be first in their life. That they're ready to win Him. Isn't that precious to think that we could have children besides ourselves? We want that. And for one another, that we run together as we run for the prize. Hallelujah. And notice here that it says that they have glory. It says, and over it, the cherubims of glory. They're cherubims of glory. Let's turn to, and God gives them light. Revelation 21. There's not too many things in the Word of God that says have glory besides Jesus Christ. But listen to this. I want to tell you about somebody that's going to have glory. That's chapter 21, and it's these cherubims. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And that holy Jerusalem, if you go back and you read in Revelation, you're just going to have to bear with me because the Lord's just telling me to go. Here we go. We're going to go back to Revelation and chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We're talking about the high calling here. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. That's the stand in Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. This is the only group that seems spared from the tribulation. This is it. I will keep you from the tribulation. This is it. Now, what is her name? Who has carried me away in the Spirit? And who was shown coming down that great city? The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. The cherubims have the glory of God. And it's overshadowing the mercy seat. And their face is right on the mercy seat. Where do you find mercy? At the throne of grace, don't you? Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. And find grace to help in our time of need. Do you see it fitting? Is this singing to you? Oh, I pray it does. I pray this is... It's so beyond. Do you see how beyond this thing is? I mean, really, when we start talking about this, this is something that you have to go get intimate with Jesus about. You're going to just have to go pray and just say, thank you. And Lord, I don't know where we're going to go with this. We're probably going to go to tongues of men and angels and we're going to go talk about it. And I'm just going to go love you with it. Because it just stops. It's just so beyond. But it's there and you can see it. By the grace of God, let the Holy Spirit give you this vision. What an awesome place to rule what He's offering. This is by His grace. This is included in this tabernacle. The type and symbol of heaven itself, and how precious that it includes the bride. And that is the reason for this age, and it would never be left out. But over it, as it says in there, but over it. Over this ark, over the mercy sheet, the shadow, their faces, it even says in Ezekiel, the faces of the cherubim look right into the mercy of God. How do you think you'll ever get to the bride of Christ? Did it say they were up there working, their hands were busy, they were doing this or that, they were out there evangelizing everything? They were still and they knew that He was God. By grace we grow. It's in the mercy seat. It is not of ourselves. This is the new covenant. And the new covenant can take us all the way beyond the veil and into the throne of grace. And by the grace of God to be one of the cherubim. You see it? Oh, hallelujah. What a precious, precious book this is. This truly is the glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. I just marvel how the Lord brings this all in. I shouldn't, but you know I marvel at my wonderful Lord and Jesus every day. Hallelujah. How He gets me through anyways. But shadowing the mercy, the faces toward it. This is the believer that truly is right now going into the throne room to obtain mercy and grace to find in our time of need. And notice it's finished with this. It's over. Creation, as we said earlier, groans for the manifestations of the Son of God. This will be the final moment into eternity when Christ takes His bride and His throne together into the unending riches of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Okay, and I don't know if we can see this, but as you look at this, this is the tabernacle. This was the court where the brazen altar is and the laver. And then this is the tabernacle with the Holy of Holies that's here, that's separated from the holy place, which is here. Okay? Only the priests could come into this first holy place of the tabernacle, which is right here. But back into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could come into once every year. Okay, so you might want to look at that. That's quite a diagram. And again, we have the little papers maybe after church if you'd like to come up and do that. But again, when these things were thus prepared, or more accurate, and more accurately, it should say, when these things were prepared, as it says, thus ordained. All this was prepared for the service of God, pointing to His Son and heaven's inheritance. Anything acceptable in our life, anything acceptable to God must be exactly according to His plan and His pattern. Did you get that? To His plan and His pattern. Not to what your interpretation or your thoughts are. Not unto what your working power may be. Not how you're going to justify and try to pull out scriptures and live your life. It doesn't work that way. And you know it. And you know it. There is the grace of God, and that will get you in to the uttermost with Him. I was thinking how this is better and better and better, as Schofield talked about, and it's so precious that he says that. But I think the verse that states Hebrews in its best is uttermost. It's beyond better. This is the uttermost chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But again, any other way misses the mark, and it's rejected of God unless it's in His Son. And hallelujah that it's easy for us, because it is in His Son. Now, the only ones allowed into the holy place, again, were Aaron's sons. Those were the priests. And again, as we read in the Word of God, Notice that it's Christ that does the calling. God does the calling for His service. Don't try to do anything for God. Don't. It's what He can do for you. And when He calls you, you'll know it. He'll lead you. He put that cloud over that tabernacle. And He just stuck it right there when He wanted it to be there. And you know what He wanted to do when He wanted Him to move? He moved the cloud. Okay? He moved it. Are you following that in your life? You say, well, I don't see it. You keep looking up. You keep on your knees. And you'll see it. You'll sense the peace of God that passes understanding in your life. I think us here tonight, there's a peace. You're quiet. I believe we're feeding on the things of God tonight. It's a precious time. Okay? We don't go with the crowd. We don't go with the crowd. We follow the cloud. By the grace of God, that's what we're after. We're after the best. As it says, there's a good, there's an acceptable, and then there's a perfect will of God. And we're after that perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Now, these priests officiated and performed the service of God. As the oil in the cup, the trimming of the wicks, that was two times a day. The incense burning, which was daily while the people prayed. The shewbread was changed weekly. Those were the things that it talks about there. And then in the seventh verse it says, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And you notice Aaron never forgot how to come into that place, did he? No. And I have very much compassion. I can't imagine losing two of your sons that way. That was a horrific thing. But it showed him something. And he knew who took care of his sons. But you approach God under His terms. You're not going to take Him on your own terms. You're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem when you try to justify things with God that aren't right. It's all in His Son, and it's very clear. But this is a wonderful verse. And it's elaborated in Leviticus 16. In the 10th day of the 7th month, which equates to our September, the priest went into the Holy of Holies. And this was into the very presence of God. It was the throne room. And I am, again, so glad that we don't have to go through all this ornate detail to get into the throne room. We're in the throne room right now. We have asked Him, by the grace of God, to be here. He has drawn us here tonight. And where two or more are gathered in His name, there am I in the midst of you also. We are in the throne room with Christ. Praise God. And you can be there in any moment that you say Jesus. But there went Aaron, first with the censer of the burning coals, the incense in his hand, the cloud of incense, as we talked about, that was on the mercy seat, acceptable fragrance of Christ to God. And I'm sure you can picture that after what happened, that there was such fragrance and there was such a smoke of incense in there, you couldn't even see Aaron when he would enter that Holy of Holies. I sure wouldn't have been seen after what I saw with Aaron's Nadab and Abihu. You wouldn't see me. All you'd see is that big smoke. I'd make sure I had a lot of that incense in my hand. That fragrance of His Son would be ever so precious in His sight and in His nostrils at that time. Hallelujah. But there he went. Then the blood of the bullock. That was the sin offering for himself and for his own house. And he sprinkled it seven times over the mercy seat. Again, speaking of perfection and completeness in Christ. Then he went out to the two goats, it talks about. There were two goats out there. After he did the sin offering for himself and for his own family, and that was what the priest had to do for himself, then he went out to the goats. And he cast lots on these two goats. And the lot that fell up on the goat, the lot of God, was the one that would be sacrificed for the sins of the people. And then there was another goat that we'll talk about here in a minute. But the goat that the lot of God fell upon, that goat was sacrificed. And again, that was offered for the sin of the people, again sprinkled seven times on the mercy seat. And then finally, there was the goat that was spared from the casting of the lots. And the priest would put his hands on the head of that goat. And it would, and he would confess the iniquities, the transgressions, and the sins of the people over that goat. And then that goat would be let go into the land not inhabited. And these all were the signs of the atonement of Christ. And again, here's how they would go. Christ went through a holy life, didn't he? It was a perfect life. And don't let others tell you that it wasn't. Christ led a perfect life in every way. And the most important thing to me, even though it was sinless and all of those things, it was a perfect life of love. He did it for the joy that was set before Him. That's why He did it. He did it for me. And He did it for you. That was the joy that was set before Him. How He loves us. How I joy in my prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And He lived that precious life. And then He went into the Holy of Holies. He went through that veil. And that veil was rent in twain. His body was torn. And that's what that represents. He suffered and died. Now again, you think about. Who else was seen in the Holy of Holies? It was that cherubim. Remember, this isn't an easy way. It's a straight way. And you're going to have to be, by the grace of God, in every way, shape, and form like His wonderful Son to be in that place. We're not talking about sinless perfection in your life. That's not going to happen. It's a state of the heart. Do you have the heart that is after God's own heart? Are we yielding to that new creation? Are you living the abundant grace? The fulfillment of what Christ can build in your life. That you can become one with Him. One in His suffering. This isn't playing around. This is serious. And what a joyful life when we live that. I haven't missed a thing. The only things I've ever missed is when I've been out of the will of God. But again, He so marvelously and gently, even when I'm out of His will, because He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He says, come on. I'm going to set you right back in the throne room. I've never left you. Come back into the kingdom. Come back into the kingdom. Hallelujah. I've got a table and a feast set for you. Oh, that's how He sees us. That's how He sees us. Then once a year, again, He did it once. And once for all. Christ had to shed the blood. There must be the death of the testator, which is in chapter 9, verse 16. It says there, we'll read that. For there, where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. And that was Christ. There's no entrance but by the blood. Even that great Passover where they said, I will pass over you. They had to see the blood. They had to put the blood above the doorway and on the side posts. They have to see the blood. God has to see the blood of His Son for Him to pass over you. Hallelujah. Without it, we are condemned. The high priest was guilty. As we saw, he had to have the bullock sacrificed for his own life. And then for the sacrifice for the people. The two sacrifices. But Christ had no sin. He was guiltless. There was only one sacrifice, and it was for you. And it was once and for all, and it was finished, and it was laid to rest. As God rested after He created, we can have the same rest as God when we cease from our own works. And then finally, that released goat, what a precious thought and sight in that. That released goat is as the sins are as far as the east is from the west. I love going back there to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, where it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. God is merciful to your unrighteousness. Christ Jesus is the only righteousness you have. And when you fail and fail miserably, He is merciful to your unrighteousness. Why do you think you need a throne to obtain mercy and grace? And why do you think you have a time of need? Because you're weak. And be thankful that you're weak again. That's where He wants us. Not weak in our sin, but weak in ourself, that we realize that it's the new creation, it's Christ Jesus that we yield to, that we have power. Remember how we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, let us don't forget. Don't let us be so weak to forget, to be so human to forget. But the power of the Holy Ghost, greater power you will do than you even saw of me. Do you believe that? You say, well, I haven't parted a Red Sea. I haven't brought people back from the dead. That's all here. The greatest power is right here. Do you believe that? Christ Himself said, greater is he who believes that hasn't seen me. That's great power right there that He's talking about. I hope you understand. But the greatest power is the faith, the eyes of faith that see the promise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Greatest miracle that's ever been. Greatest miracle that'll ever be. That you could actually fit the wedding dress. That you could be conformed unto His death. By the grace of God, we're going to have a gathering here this week coming up. It's going to be a sweet time. Let the Lord just sing to you. Love the Lord. Allow this to be such a great time of rejoicing that we're going to have, Lord willing. It's a precious time. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get refilled with the Holy Spirit. And then by the grace of God, if Jesus tarry, you take home that blessing. And you exercise. Because you know what? You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Every one of them. He didn't leave out a thing, did he? He didn't leave out one thing in the tabernacle. I think I'm pretty thorough. But you talk to my wife and I still forget. Even type A personality me. I think Brother Hill is pretty type A personality. I think. Just a little bit, would you say? No, he was the type L. He was love personality. Because he had Christ Jesus' love in his life. And that's what we want. But see, he didn't leave out a thing. And remember, for your life, he didn't leave out a thing. Trust him for it. I think that's the thing I battle in my life. Is there's times I think, Lord, I just am inadequate. I'm not seeing this. I mean, I see it, but I'm not taking full assurance of belief in that. Help me. That's right where He wants you. And He's encouraging me on in that. He says, you know what, boy? That's where you can grow. That's when I can take you on. That's when I can put that work on you. Because you're my workmanship. That I can mold you and I can make you after my will. My will be done. My will be done. That's what He's speaking to us here in this book of Hebrews. Do you see it? I pray we do. Well, Lord willing, we're going to have a Wednesday break next week. And Brother Hawkins, Lord willing, will be ministering to us at camp. So on your off timer in the camp, you keep reading and studying. And I pray again that the Lord just whet that appetite for us to get into Leviticus. Get into Exodus. Read these things. I'm not going to apologize that we bogged down in them because you can see. Without it, I don't think you really see the fullness of what's going on here. Okay? This was disclosed and now He's revealed it. He's revealed it to us. Let's stand and pray. Scott, would you dismiss us?